So tonight, I need everybody up here who you want to bring to start off. Just come on up. Maddie, you got to come with her. Hey, Bryce, move these flowers. Yes, sir. We're going to move this pulpit as soon as they're done singing.
You need the pulpit moved?
As soon as she's done singing, I'm going to move the pulpit aside. So, can you guys hear me okay?
No.
That's good for you, amen. No. So, everybody here loves Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody loves Pastor who Jesus put over our church, right?
Right.
Amen. So Pastor decided, he talked to me a while ago and said, Ken, your kids in junior church just love junior church class. And they get a lot from it. So he said, I want you to do a junior church class for the church. So first I'm going to tell you, if you have to go bathroom, go now. No drinks in the classroom because I don't want you going bathroom later. Okay? Eric, get your finger out of your nose. Okay? Mike, get your finger out of Nikki's nose. Okay, so we're going to have a junior church class tonight. So I've never had a kid run out screaming and crying at the message. Now, because they didn't get candy, because I took the toy away, yeah, those things. But there may be candy. We'll see. Yeah, you're on my Bible. Amen. So first, we're going to start off with a great song. No, ma'am, I'm not. As the teacher, I get to tell the students what to sing. I love teaching junior church. All right. Come on, guys. You got this. Now, if you guys want to sing along with them, this is to go with the message. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, good job. Come on.
The kids love the song. They ask for it by name all the time. Potato chip. So. I felt the same way.
Just like two verses, two things of it is good. We don't have to go 4 hours, but.
Potato chip.
Munchie. That's good. Okay. Yeah. Come on. Clap for your classmates. Good job. Amen. All right. Yeah, they're going to move it for me. Okay. Brother Jay, stand up. Turn to Psalm 119. Read verse 165 as loud as you can. Andrew, you're going to read the same thing just after him, so get ready. It's always good to start the class properly so the kids understand what's going on. Amen. Here's your tissues for when you cry. Anyone who's ever taught before is going to cry. All right, Mr. J, go ahead.
Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have them, they love their law, and nothing shall offend them.
None. Andrew, read it louder.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen. Jay, come up here. Andrew, come up here. Leave your Bibles. Come on up here. Can you hold that to people if I need it?
One, two.
Okay.
One, two. One, two.
I want you to sit here like you're riding a horse, but put your feet in front. Now you let him, he's going to be busy.
Oh.
Put your leg on this side. Just for now, trust me. I want you to get on your hands and knees next to him. You're going to be a horse for me. But look that way. Okay. So first I'm going to start off with a quick little story here. But I like to use visuals. So they just sang about change. So I'm going to talk about change. And I'm going to start off, don't worry, guys, a lot of you are going to get an opportunity today to participate in class. Don't worry. So First one I'm going to talk about, if you want to turn your Bible, Acts 9. Okay? Quick story. The first person that comes to my mind about change, the wonderful song we just heard was about change. And I'm so nervous, I'm not even in Acts. Amen. Amen. I think it's after John somewhere, right? Before Romans. Okay. So Acts 9. I'm not even going to read the story. Most of you guys know this story. I'm just going to summarize it. That way we can move on.
Give me find it for you.
I'm just going to Corinthians. I'm going to be there next. Okay, get down. So, in Acts 9, there's this wicked, horrible guy.
That's me.
That was around when they were killing Christians. Stephen got stoned. He held their coats. Just look at everybody real quick. So, now, the priests give him some letters. He's going to where? Damascus, yes. Everybody. He's going to Damascus. And the Bible doesn't say if he walked or rode. 135 miles by a crow, 180 to over 200 on foot. Maybe a horse, maybe a camel, maybe Bible word ass, he rode. So that's what I'm thinking. So here's Saul. Saul's on his way. You're riding a horse. Oh, come on. He's on his way to Damascus. Okay? And then out of nowhere, he falls down. Fall down, Saul.
I'm him.
Or on the side of him. Don't kill him, but we'll use him later. Okay. So, this is Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're a fool, amen.
Amen.
So, here, what happens, guys? What happens? He dies? No. Okay. He falls to the ground. He can't see anymore. He's blind. People around him hear a boom, 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 bang, boom. They hear a booming, thundering thing. They think it's thunder. They don't know what it is. Paul gives the account three times. Paul hears the Lord. The Lord's talking to him. Well, his name's Saul. I'm sorry. I get confused myself. Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me? That we're ad-libbing. That's okay. I wanted to pull, by the way, so you guys could see Saul take his fall. So Saul's down. The ass is dead. We don't know for sure, but God's speaking to Saul. Saul loses his sight. Saul jumps up. Can you get up by yourself, old man? You need help? Okay.
Should Jesse be here now?
Jesse, help me, I'm blind.
So, 3 days, he's blind. But you know what happened to Saul? Saul met Jesus.
That's right.
And there was a change in Saul. Such a drastic change, his name was changed to Paul. So now Saul is Paul. Before he killed Christians and hunted Christians and ripped them away from their families, now he's helping Christians, building the family of God, and encouraging people to become Christians. There was a change there. I like potato chips, but I like the idea of meeting Jesus and there being a change.
That's right.
Brother Jack preached Wednesday night. 15 years in his church, I'm flesh still. I wish I was super spiritual. I look around in the mirror and I look around my church. I'm like, are they saved? You know what Doc always said? They say they are.
Yeah.
That's all I got. They say they are. Do I see a change? Well, brother, you're not supposed to see a change. What does the Bible say?
By their fruit.
All right, so Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this silly introduction, God. And we're going to have some more, God. I ask you just to bless this message, God. And
God,
please, Lord, if there be anybody here, Lord, that likes me, Lord, help them not to listen to that message because of that. If there's somebody here who's unhappy with me, Lord, or doesn't like me, Lord, please don't let them disregard this message because of that, God. Amen. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here that loves you, has a fear of you, or even is concerned about you, Lord, please help them to hear your words and look in your book to see what I'm saying and see if it be. God, just I love you and I thank you, Lord. And for those fools in here now, God, that this is just a game and church is just a charade or something to do because they want to get a girl or get a guy or make some money or they have nothing better to do on a Sunday night, God, please ask you to convict their heart, God. Save them if they're lost.
Yes.
And if they're saved, God, help them to grow.
Amen.
Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to be with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys are done for now. Thank you for your help. You can clap for them. It'll encourage them and make them smile. No, I got a lot more, preacher. Okay, so what I'm going to do is we're going to do a few more of these. We're going to get involved here. So turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Landon's sitting perfectly still. He's barely breathing. He's been in my class before. I love it. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. Let's see. Mike Collins, I want you to stand up as loud as you can and read 2 Corinthians 5:17.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Okay, Brother Mike, don't sit down yet, buddy. I'm going to need you up here. Thank you for volunteering. I'm looking. Brother Joe Godfrey, I need you to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 as loud as you can.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. All right, leave your Bible and come on up. Join your buddy Mike up here. I love it when people volunteer. It makes the class go so much smoother. Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll do a different one this time. Alrighty, so what we're going to do is, alright, I need you guys to stand right here for a second, and I'm going to pull you over to me when I need you, right next to your buddy over there. And Brother John taught me this, I just want you to stand there and look pretty until I need you. Okay? You guys can't do that, but... Alrighty, so... What did that verse they just read, what did it say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he what? A new what?
Creature.
I'm not a creature. And some of you are thinking, I'm a man. You're a male, you're not a man. But remember, you kids are young. A man isn't, male and female is your sex you're born with. A man is something the Bible teaches you to become, or a woman is something the Bible teaches you to become. You think because of your job, because of your social security number and your credit score, you're a man or a woman in here? No. A man or woman is your character and how you act. We're talking about a creature here. So what's a creature? I don't know. So I looked in the Bible. And then I looked in the dictionary because I got really confused with the Bible. I was like, all these weird things are creatures. And that made sense. So here's a creature. Webster says, that which is created. Every being besides the creator, or everything not self-existent. The sun, moons, and stars, the earth, animals, plants, light, darkness, air, water, etc., are creatures of God. They're all creations of God, things God has made, a creature. So we're told, if any man be in Christ, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I have family that my cousin Roe, when he first got saved, was so excited. And I have family that was higher than a kite that said magic words. I have family that was drunk in the middle of doing filthy things, and Roe would bust it into parties, and they would say these words to get him out of there. They didn't mean any of it with their heart. They didn't believe. Brother Jack's message was right on Wednesday night. If you missed it, shame on you. Yep. Go online and listen to it.
Amen.
But it was amazing. And it got me thinking. There wasn't a change in my family to this day. I have a lot of them that are saved, but I have a decent number. Roe saved me. Pastor saved me. Roe and Pastor and me, we can't save a dying dog.
Right.
Only Jesus Christ can save you.
Amen.
So they're not new creatures.
That's right.
I don't see anything changing in them. When they do wrong, I never see them feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like Brother Jack said, when I do wrong, I feel guilty and bad. It's not that worldly Catholic guilt I used to have. This is a holy guilt. I've sinned against the holy God. I don't care if my wife knows what I did wrong or pastor knows what I did wrong. God knows. That's all I need. Behold, no, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Why can't we get that in our head? We have all this stupid little technology that we can see everything, but we don't think God can see everything?
Come on now.
It makes no sense.
That's right.
So, all right, I want you guys just to stand there and look like you're really rich, pious, educated church members. Okay, so they're doing good. So let's go over here to John 19. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having fun. So John 19, let's see what the Bible says. We're going to talk about some people that had a change. Or did they? Let's see here. I might need a preacher to find the book of John. There it is. John 19. I'm just going to read two verses. Verse 38 and 39. So John 19, verse 38 and 39. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So here I just want to hit both of their names real quick. Now we're going to take a look at both of them. So let's see. We'll let Brother Mike step forward first. All right, Brother Mike, I appreciate you. All righty. So let's turn to Mark 15:43. We're going to speed a little bit through some of these verses here because you kids have been in my class long enough. You know some of these verses, so we're going to speed through them. I don't have Miss Tiffany to turn my Bible up here, but so Mark 15, verse 43 is the first one we're going to read. 15:43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. Take a bow, Mike. Just put your hand out and take a bow. Look at that. Honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now, this is when Jesus was dead. Right when Jesus is dead, he had a desire. Crave. Have you ever craved something? Chocolate? A Philly cheesesteak? Some donuts. Yeah. So he craved. He had a desire. It was consuming. God is dead. I need to get to his body. I need to see him. He had a better opportunity when he was alive to do it.
Yeah.
But the Bible says he did it in secret. See, he was in church. None of his family really knew much about God, though, because he was afraid.
Yeah, right.
People he worked with, they knew sometimes that Joseph did some things, but he had to be careful with a lot of them, and we're going to see why in a minute. So the problem with Joseph was he was mostly the same after he met Jesus. He said he was a disciple. Let's go to Matthew 27. We're going to back up a few pages. Matthew 27, and we're going to take a look at verse 57. And I know it's going to be a lot of scripture. There are only one or two scriptures here and there, but I want to give them to you so you guys have some scripture, because this isn't me. My preference is go make money, be happy, eat until you get fat and die. But that's not Bible. That's my flesh. Listen to rhythmy music, get snapping, toe-tapping, but that's not Bible. What's the Bible say? Matthew 27, verse 57 says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. I wanted to read those few verses that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus Christ. There were lots of disciples. There was 12 apostles. Disciple is somebody who wants to be under the discipline. They want to learn of him. They want to learn what he says. They're believing it. They're reading it. They're practicing it. They're not perfect. They're messing up. He was a disciple. I think he was a useless disciple in the beginning. For the death, the Lord used him. But the Bible doesn't tell any stories that I can find. If you find them, tell me later, and I'll correct everybody, of him going out and doing a lot of things. And don't get me wrong, preparing the body and all that was needed, and the money and the field and all that, that's all good. But the opportunity he had, he wasted. For 3 years, 2.5 years, he wasted time where he could have been doing something for Jesus. But I tell you, boy, he looked good. He had some money. And see, these days it's funny, because when I used to work at a bank, you could tell who had money by how they dress. You could tell who had money by who had a cell phone, or before that, a pager. Now you have people complaining how poor they are with a $600 phone. People complain how poor they are with $150 a month cable. People complain about how poor they are with $100 shoes. Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
That's right.
It doesn't make sense to me. And then the funniest thing is, when I talk to people, well, brother, the Lord will be back any day. So you're going to waste your money on your shoes. You're going to waste your money on the expensive phones because the Lord's coming back. Why not give it to a missionary to get one more soul saved? Why not give it to a preacher that needs it or do something with it for God? So I don't know if there was a change. So I'm not saying you're still not changing. We're still growing. But I really want you tonight to think about when you got saved, what was your change? There's some people I met at other churches, and I think, man, that guy is wicked. He's going to burn in hell. He's not living right. He's not talking right. I see he's not. Everything he's doing is wrong. I mean, you don't say those words if you're saved. You wouldn't dress with the skulls and the blood and the sex and the drugs and all that on your shirt if you were saved. Amen. You wouldn't do all these things. You wouldn't watch these movies and go to these filthy places. Yeah. And then someone tells me, oh, brother, he's saved. He's so much better than he used to be. I don't think he could be any worse. My family get-togethers were police and restraining orders and chairs and canes being broken, cops and guns. So I don't know, but I want you to pick. Don't tell me. Don't tell anyone else. Well, brother, I used to smoke 16 years ago, and now I don't smoke. Wow, Jesus can save you and stop you from smoking. That's all he can do. That's all you want. He can do a lot more if you want it. So Joseph, I can't get him out of the limelight. Slide over some, Joseph. Let Nicodemus come in. So this guy's a sneak. Yeah. Amen. Go, Daddy. I like this. Good job, Avery. I'll get you candy for participation. Amen. So let's go to John chapter 3. Daddy looks a lot redder than his daughter. All right, John chapter 3. All right, most of you guys should know this chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So you know what a Pharisee is? It's a religious person that's got the outside taken care of, but not the inside. A hypocrite is somebody who smokes and tells you to stop smoking. A hypocrite is someone who watches bad movies and tells you not to watch bad movies. A Pharisee is a church person who knew the law, actually on the outside lived pretty clean. They were just self-righteous. So here's this Pharisee who's got no problems in life. He's got no issues. I mean, look at that trim on that beard, man. So he's got no problems. And it says here in chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus in the daylight where everybody could see him. No? What does it say? He came by night. Well, brother, you don't understand. I'm a night owl. The Bible talks about loving darkness and light. The Bible talks about Jesus being a light, but we're supposed to like the light. Whatever. Just Bible. But anyway, Nicodemus is coming in by night, because he didn't want people to see. He was searching. And I'm not knocking Nicodemus for searching. You would think, though, Faith Baptist Church, been here 3 years, been here 8 years, been here 10 years, been here 6 months in a row. You'd think you'd have the guts to do it in the daylight. But there wasn't a change yet. Okay. But we go through the story here, and this is where this John 3 is one of my favorite chapters. You must be born again. It explains water and spirit, flesh and spiritual. It explains that. It makes it very simple for someone to get saved. So the problem is Nicodemus, if we take a look at John 7, verse 50. Now, these are guys that have been with Jesus. Now, I get emotional and can scream and cry and say I've been with Jesus, and I have, spiritually speaking. But physically, I have not been with Jesus. And if someone tells you they physically have been, they're not. Spiritually, I've been with him. Now, he dwells inside of me. He doesn't text me. Jesus doesn't email me. Doesn't send me smoke signals. Doesn't appear in a dream and tell me to go and do some crazy thing. You know how he talks to me? Through Scripture. through his Bible, through reading. I talk to him through prayer, not always singing and dancing and watching TV. Some of those things might not be bad, but I talk to Jesus through prayer, dedicated time to Jesus, time I have to sacrifice. I can't have that sixth slice of pizza. I'm going to stop and go pray for 3 minutes, hopefully longer. I talk to Jesus, my kids, you're my kids. This is hard to understand this day. You have to talk to Jesus.
Amen.
You have to talk to Jesus. And if the only thing you're talking to Jesus about is gimme, 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 it gets old. Now, I know your moms and dads, they love you, and they want to give you the world, but it's not right. You don't need everything. God needs to give you some things. Your moms and dads love you, and they want to give you everything, but how can God work if mom and dad do everything for you? Don't ask for your pony or your bicycle or your new car. Don't ask mom and dad in the store when you're in the checkout line. Pray. Talk to God about it. If you're having trouble reading, find someone who can help you read and start reading. See what the Bible says. And the things you ask for won't be an amiss anymore. They'll be different. And you'd be amazed to see what's going to happen. So Nicodemus, we'll move on. One more thing with Nick over there. So John 7:50, did I read that? Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. Okay? So let's go on over to John 12:42. We're almost done, guys, with this group. I got to speed up. John 12:42. We're going to take a look at John 12:42, and I'll read 43 as well. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Right there. Many believed on him, it says. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. All right, turn to Romans 1:16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I love this verse because it really separates the men from the boys. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of talking about my video games. For I am not ashamed of wearing my team jersey. For I am not ashamed of talking filth. For I am not ashamed at laughing at bad jokes. I am not ashamed of being in places I have no place being. Oh, it doesn't say that. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How come the change in you hasn't been enough that you can't open your mouth, wear something, put it on your car, put it in your heart, whatever it needs to be, pray about it, between the Lord, but do something for Jesus. But everything else, you have no shame for it. But when it comes to God, there's a shame there. Amen. It says here in Romans 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. To the Jew first and also the Greek. Jonah, from your seat, I'm going to pick on you. I need you to quote a verse for me without looking in your Bible about Jews and Greeks. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Good enough, that's it. So Jonah just said the Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. If you're saved, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. Of course, we know that. These guys were Jews. They needed signs. They had an excuse. They saw the miracles. We're supposed to be seeking after wisdom. We have no problem Googling how to fix the sensor in the chicken house when it breaks. We have no problem Googling and, you know, what is propane gas versus natural gas? I didn't know what that stuff was. I thought it was all gas. Why can't we spend some time in studying a book?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you're going to know everything. I forget a lot of stuff. But if we study it and we know it, it shouldn't just be, oh, I've heard pastor say that. It should be, I've read that. And then pastor says it and it reinforces it and it brings to my mind. And things start to change. All right. Nikki, Nick, and Joey, you can sit down. Thank you. All right, so.
Great job, boys.
Now, hey, those little boys were scared to come up here for all you ugly kids, so that was good of them. So let's move on here. So let's go. Oh, I like this one. All these men putting their head down. Don't call me. I'm going to pick on Brother Tommy. I like the haircut. Hold on a second. There's too many. All right. Brother Jim. Brother Jim and Brother Tommy, I need you up here.
Come on,
down. Come on down, amen. All right, Brother David, I need you to read for me. I forgot to have them read. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, please. Come on, I ain't got all day. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So it frustrates me that Nicodemus and Joseph had so much at their fingertips they could have done, but they put it off. So let's talk about two here. Let's see if I can. All right. You sit back for a minute, buddy. Come on forward here. Okay. Look at this guy here. We don't have time to read all the stories, but just imagine the foam coming from his mouth. He's cutting himself. He's kind of crazy. Whenever they try to, it fits. Whenever they try to chain him, they can't. Oh, he's. You kids will find out in a minute if you let me move on. Okay. So, who is this? He hangs around the cemeteries and scary stuff. The maniac of Gadara. For time, I'm not going to read all the verses, but I will hit one or two. He'll be like 18. No, I'll try not to do anything.
Let me take his coat off and he's the maniac.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Just rip it a little bit, preacher. Hold on a second. Just to make it more real. Was that not scary or what? Okay. Amen. So, here's the maniac, all right? It's not a music group, guys. So, let's go ahead over, let's do Luke 8, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. All right, maniac, just like walk forward and walk back one time, just to confuse them all. Now walk back. Yeah, you gotta be a maniac here. That's, look at that there, that's a maniac there. See, that was threatening. This is a safe space, maniac. So, okay. Kids are rough in class sometimes. I've got to set the groundwork. If you don't stop, Miss Tiffany will take you down the hallway. Okay. So Luke 8, verse 26. We'll start there. Okay. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there he met out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes. Keep your jacket on, Brother Jim. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So, I guess I'll read a few more here. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." So hold on right there for a second, we're going to stop. So I didn't give you the other verses, and I've got them marked here in Matthew and Mark. Was there only one maniac? There was two. So there was two. Jesus pulls up, comes on the land, and what does the maniac do to Jesus? Same thing I think Philip did. What does the maniac do? Slowly walk over, kind of wait for Jesus to come to him, or does he go to him? I think he goes to him. Yeah. Check your Bible. I could be way wrong. Maybe he flew a helicopter. That would be awesome. But so he goes to Jesus. Jesus rebukes him. I need some help real quick. Eli, Landon, Jonah, Gavin, right there, and Zane. Just stand right there. Okay. Oh, it stinks. I hate the smell of pigs. So, the Bible says there's a bunch of swine. There's a bunch of pigs. So when Jesus rebukes the devils out of the maniac, he puts them in the swine. And you guys run to the door, quick. Go, run, run. Okay, we had one death. Oh no, that's a hurt. That was Landon. He might be embarrassed, sorry. All right, all the boys, come back slowly and sit down. This is why we don't video record my class. All right, one of the pigs got excited, sorry. And they knocked another pig down. So he's tough though. So look, the pigs run off. The maniac gets clean. Now he's changed. There's a change in him. And you know what he wants to do? Here, Pastor, stand up. Stand right there, Pastor. The maniac wants to get as close to Jesus as he can. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, no, go back to your seat. Go to your family and tell them what great things I've done. Now, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to hang out with the cool guy all the time. He didn't want to go back home. Can you imagine the flesh in that? Oh, man. All my old friends, my old family, all the stupid things I did. And now I'm clean. And now I'm right. And I'm changed. But you know what he did? He met Jesus. And he changed. I believe the other guys, Joseph and Nicodemus, they met Jesus. They're mostly the same. I believe there was a change in the maniac, a solid change. So I wouldn't call him the same or mostly the same. I would call him saved. Yeah. That was something real there. The other guys, probably they were saved too, probably, in a transitional Old Testament way. All right, now we got this other guy. All right. Hold on a second. I don't know if you guys can see him. Come here, little guy. Can you climb that tree there, little guy, for me and stand up on there? All right, little guy. So here's my little guy. Zacchaeus. So here's Zacchaeus. I should get all those girls to sing the song, but we don't have time. A wee little man was he. So Zacchaeus, right? You know what Zacchaeus was? Zacchaeus was one of the filthiest guys around. Oh my goodness, all this talk about abolishing ICE, I love ICE. I hate the IRS. I'd rather have the mob show up in my house. At least they're honest half the time. This guy, the Bible says he was a publican. We can go back to Matthew. Levi was his name. He was a publican. He sat at customs, receiving receipts. He was a tax guy. He was taking people's money. But Jesus is coming into town, and he knows. He knows he's got to make a change. He knows there's got to be something done because the way he's living isn't working. You know, he's taken so much money from people, so much money, everybody hates him. The people that don't go to Faith Baptist hate him. The people that go to Faith Baptist hate him. You know, the Pharisees, the lost, the Jews, the Gentiles, they all hate him. That's one common ground they have. For the little bit they have and they work for, this bum takes it. And then instead of just taking 3 coins like he's supposed to, he takes 4. Figuring they're not going to tell nobody, I'll put 1 in my pocket and I'll give 3 to Caesar. He's filthy. And it's his own people he's wronging. And it's horrible. Don't get me wrong, if you do wrong anybody, it's horrible. But to wrong your own family, that just doesn't seem right. So here's Zacchaeus as he climbs a tree, he gets up, and he sees Jesus. So Jesus, can you walk by him one time real quick? So Jesus is walking by. And then Jesus stops. Look at that little guy up there. Is that a monkey? No. He says, come on down. I'm going to dine at your house today. And he takes the little guy. And they go out to dinner with a bunch of other people. Thank you, Bob. So look, Zacchaeus, when he's down at dinner, hold on a second, let me check on my pet pig here. We good? Okay. So, When Zacchaeus is hanging out with Jesus, you know what he says? Do you? What's the Bible say? Let's take a peek here. That's it. Let's go to Luke 19. A few pages over from where we were. So if you think this has been crazy, tell my daughter how embarrassed you are for her. Because she says, Dad, you're not going to embarrass me, are you? I said, I hope. No. So here's Luke 19. We're going to start. We just act it out 1-5. So you guys read that when you get home. And verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Sorry, Jalen was supposed to quote that. I forgot. So, his household, salvation has come. So when salvation came, when Jesus Christ came to Zacchaeus, there was a change. He met Jesus and he changed.
Amen.
It might have been Mike or Eric told me, somebody standing on the highway gets hit by an 18-wheeler truck. When you meet that truck, there's going to be a change in you. And the God of this world that just created the stars like they were nothing can't change you? Your will, and this is, I know, documentary, we're going to have a fight. Someone's going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your will is stronger than God's,
right.
You believe.
Right.
When it comes down to it and you're in hell, or if you are saved, you say you are, you're going to have a judgment. I know when my flesh, why I don't read my Bible sometimes, why I fight to read it, why I struggle to read it, why if something blows up and I'm running around and I try to squeeze in a proverb or just do something, but I don't really read it on some days, because my flesh doesn't like that it tells me I'm going to be judged. But I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. You are going to heaven, but you're going to be judged. And if you're living like you're not going to be judged, I question whether the judge is in you. Now, I know you can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can be a sodomite and all that stuff and you can mess the world up and murder and kill. Yeah, but that's the exception, guys. The exception proves the rule. You go through that book. When people meet Jesus Christ, the ones that claim him change. So, all right, if you're a lady in here that's ever worked the nursery, stand up. I'm not going to call you up here. Don't worry. No, I can't handle all you at one time. If you've ever worked the nursery, now, who here has had a baby, we'll keep this clean and polite, in the nursery that needs a change and wanted to not change them because they enjoyed the aroma and the atmosphere and the attitude of the baby when they needed that change? Who here is really like, yeah? So you all ladies look forward to a change. It's not easy to do it sometimes, but what you reap and the benefit afterwards is such a blessing to get rid of that, amen? So you can sit down, ladies. Thank you for your participation. So some of you guys, when you get home, ask your wives what I'm talking about. They'll explain it. So, all right, this is our last big set here. And, all right, let me see. Brother Dan, can I pick on you?
No.
You want to come up, Brother Dan, or no?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. So I knew you would. That's why I picked him. I'll give Brother Dan a chance. He tells me a joke every Sunday. I like Brother Dan. I don't like these couple rows here. Brother Mike Bukowski. Thank you, preacher. I love that my preacher's willing to help me anytime I need it, whether it's on my roof or on my car or in my message. All right, come here, you filthy animal, you thief. Stand right there. You don't have to put your arms out. You guys are going to get tired. You're another filthy animal.
All right.
You're a thief.
All right.
Right here. All right, Jesus, step on up. Okay. Look, hold on a second. For anybody that watches this at home, I am not saying Pastor is Jesus. We're just playing out here. We all should be a type, though. Amen?
Amen.
I had a family member who came to a wedding, and your pastor said the groom was Jesus. I don't worship him. No, he didn't say that, you idiot. So, okay. We're going to go to Matthew 27, and I'm losing my voice. So, Brother Derek is going to read Matthew 27, verses 38 to 44. All right, Brother Derek, I also need you to read Mark 15, 27 to 33. Yes, sir.
And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. They that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribe,
He saved others, and still he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him.
And when the sixth hour was come...
That's good. Okay. I want you to read one more. Go ahead and read Luke 23, 39 to 43. Are you guys okay standing just for another few minutes? Okay.
Did you say Luke
23? Yes, sir. 23:39 to 43.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on them, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Derek. All right. So, you guys good just for a minute, right? Okay. Esther, what color was the vehicle you got in a car accident? Do you remember? I can't hear it. Do you remember? The most recent one.
Tan.
Lisa, what color was your vehicle? What color?
Gray.
Okay. So we have a tan vehicle and a gray vehicle running down the road. Jonah, what color is your truck you're driving?
Red.
Okay. So Jonah's driving his red truck. And you just think, women drivers. And here comes his gray car and his tan car. And smack! Right into Jonah's brand new red truck. Who would pay that much money? Never mind, we'll talk about getting used vehicles later. But they're crazy, it's aluminum. No. So Jonah's driving red truck, gray car, tan car, boom, accident. Bryce stands up and says a red truck was in a car accident. Is he telling the truth? Yes. Earl stands up, says, tan car, gray car, in an accident. Is Earl telling the truth? For once, amen. One thing happened. There's multiple perspectives. When you're reading your Bible in the four Gospels, you need to pay attention. Amen. I don't care what the internet preacher says. I know one or two of them and I like them. A lot of them are idiots. I don't care what your book says. I don't care what your spouse. I don't care what anyone says but that book. Read the book. So we just read, there were two. Did you ever realize both of them were railing on Christ when you read that?
Right.
And then one of them in the middle of giving Jesus a hard time and mocking him and making fun of him stops and has an epiphany. A light bulb goes off. He tells the other, hey man, we deserve this. He doesn't. What's missing, I believe, in Christianity today is, and in the world in general, is self-accountability. It's never your fault when you mess up at work. It's the company's got bad equipment, the company giving enough time, blah, blah, blah. It's never your fault when you mess up at home. Mom didn't tell me till a minute, I was in the middle of this, my husband this, my wife this. Maybe some of it is their fault. But can you not just ask God, God, what can I change and do better? We have two guys that met Jesus here. One gets in, one doesn't. You know what? Physically, I guarantee you, the one that didn't get in physically was closer to Jesus than a lot of people in church are today. He listened to what he said, and he spoke to him honestly. Didn't mean it was right, but he was close to Jesus. So the one thief says, stop. This guy's innocent. I'm not quoting it. I'm ad-libbing it, so check it out in the book. Derek just read it. But Jesus tells him, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So even though he was mean, Jesus was perfect and loved the law. He wasn't offended. Jesus was the perfect example of change. As Christians, how we need to be. I have no problem with doctrine. And when I was in school, Brother John, they called me Dr. Dudley. And I like to argue like a lawyer. So I have no problem with doctrine. I'm all about doctrine. And trust me, I think we need more doctrine. We need to pay attention to it. We need to learn it. But we need to apply it. It shouldn't just be a head thing. It should be a heart thing.
Yes,
we should apply it. But I meet one of these stinking, wishy-washy liberal Christians out there that loves Jesus more than people in my church. And they got the wrong Bible. They got the wrong spirit half the time, but they still have a love for God and a love for God's souls and his creation when we don't. It's not the doctrine. The problem isn't the doctrine. Don't ever tell me it's a doctrine. The problem is you. All right. Thank you, guys. Listen, I'm finishing up now. So everybody stand up. Stay in your seats or stay in your pew area, but stand up. I'm not going to have anybody run. See, hey, you pigs, Miss Linda always says no running in church. Now I know why. All right, so, all right, I'm not even going to finish John chapter 3. We're going to talk about one more person here. Everybody stand up. And this is the cool part. Because you all get to make a decision if you're this person. I'm not going to call you up here to play this part. So there was a person in the Bible that was very close to Jesus Christ. That's kind of cool. He would walk with Jesus. He would do the miracles with Jesus. Nobody got as close as this guy did, except for a very few. And my question is, are you thinking in your head who he is? This guy was so close to Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. Jesus trusted this guy. This guy held the money. I tell you, that takes trust. I'm kind of nervous right now. I'm joking. But this guy trusted. This guy was trusted. Now, Jesus is no fool. You know what I mean? You can try to fool your mom and dad. You can fool your friends. But let me tell you something real quick there, Smarty. A lot of time, you're not fooling them. What it is pastors ask them to shut up and pray about it, to give you a chance. But there's coming to a point here where you're corrupting our kids, you're corrupting our parents, you're corrupting our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't want to get close to Jesus the right way, you need to sit down alone with pastor in tears and get it right. Because all you stand in right now, the character I'm talking about, I'm going to read about him. I want you to stand for a minute if you're able to. If you're not able to, you can take a seat. But if you're physically able to stand, stand. And let's read about this guy here. First, we'll go to Matthew 13, 21. If you're able to turn while you're standing, do that. If not, I'll read it. I'm going to go to another verse after this. I want you to make a decision. Because I read in the beginning about two church guys that were the same. Then we talked about two guys that were in the world, and they were filthy. The maniac and the IRS guy, they were filthy. And they got saved. And they didn't stay the same when they met Jesus. Then we met a guy who was satisfied at the cross, last minute, satisfied just to get in by the skin of his teeth. And my question for you is, are you the same? Are you saved? Are you satisfied? Or are you a snake? Let's read about the snake here. Matthew 13, 21. Matthew 13, 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, we started off by talking about being offended. I'm not saying perfect. We all get in the flesh for a second, but we should get over it. So let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And this guy got offended because money was used, perfume was used to prepare Jesus for his burial. And that money could have been given to the poor. That money could have been done for this. That money could have been done for this. You know what? See, John 6, John 6, verse 71. John 6, verse 71. "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So my question is for you, are you the same? Are you saved? Are you just satisfied? Or are you a snake? I'm not picking anybody in here. I don't have anybody in my mind right now. I've got my own issues and things. But let me tell you right now, in my house, grace and mercy aren't just some fun game. If you don't understand grace and mercy, you need to check it out and read it. Read what the book says. It's not, oh, it's okay for me to mess up and do wrong because they'll forgive me. You better check your heart.
Yep.
Now, you're just in it for a con. You're in it for a girl or a guy, like I said earlier. You're in it for a friend. I tell you, no one's going to love you or take care of you like Jesus Christ does.
Right. Amen.
And you know, there are so many people in this church that can look across the aisle, look at the people next to them, look front and behind them, and we're flesh. And we question, is that person saved? Why isn't that person wanting to get close to God? Can you imagine the disciples? Judas was with them all the time. Jesus knew. Jesus knew for sure. The Bible says that. He knew. So I want to know what your thoughts are. Keep them to yourself for now. But the last thing we're going to finish in James, and then I'm finished. James chapter 4. These are the last few verses, and I'm done. So James chapter 4, I'm going to read this. I'm just going to read 8 verses here. I think these 8 verses, let's see. "From whence came wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith," and this is the hard part for me, "but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Next verse, these last 2 verses and we're done. Humble. God wants you to stop being proud. Doesn't care who your parents are. Doesn't care that, you know, you miss a service once in a while. He doesn't, I mean, he does care about all those things. But what he wants is a personal relationship with you.
Right.
He wants you to be honest to him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to talk to him.
Right.
He doesn't want you to betray him. It's so flippant in churches today. Speak how I want, live how I want, dress how I want, talk like I want. What are you getting it from? You're not getting it from this.
Right.
I don't picture Jesus walking with his pants at his knees. I don't picture him in super flashy clothes drawing attention. I don't picture him in the hottest, coolest bling bling jewelry spending all that money. I don't picture him driving $1,000 a month truck payment. That's ridiculous. I don't perceive him doing that, those kinds of things. I don't see him doing that. Well, brother, that's just your preference. Start reading the book, hot and cold. Maybe you're going to think different. You don't want to think different, I know. But that's between you and the Lord. The last two verses here, verse 7 and 8 of James 4. You got to be humble. Stop being proud. I don't care how much you read. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how pretty you are, how tall you are, how short you are, how ugly you are. A lot of you got that. So, verse 7, humble yourself, it says. In verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So when you submit to God, Judas didn't submit. The other guys in the story, some of them submitted immediately. Some submitted over time. And some submitted after they realized how stupid they were. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You're having troubles. You're complaining all the time about your life. And you're telling one on the internet how horrible you have it. Why does my family that's got connected with a Facebook of some of you people in this church want salvation? When they see how wicked you live, how horrible you hate your life, why do they want to be associated with your God?
Yep.
Please stop. Just if you think they're my family or my friends or my neighbors, unfriend them. I don't care if they get mad. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Well, so-and-so said this. So-and-so showed this picture. Are you kidding me? Do you not care about a holy God you've offended? If you wrong me, of course I'm going to get over it. I'm flesh. You tell me you're sorry, I'll get over it quicker, and we'll be friends, and I'll get over it. I forget stuff. It's easy. But what about God? Do you even care? Do you care?
Right.
Judas, what was it, 30 coins? 30 coins. That was nothing. Just threw it back. The priest didn't even want it. Oh, we'll just buy a little piece of dirt, a little grave plot. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit. Doesn't mean be perfect. It says submit. God, help me. God, help me read. I'm never going to grow if I don't read. I'm never going to understand why a preacher says what he says if I don't read. God, I got to read. Don't tell me you have trouble reading. You choose not to read. This book has changed a lot of people's lives. Not reading this book has changed a lot of people's lives. You have no excuse in a Bible-believing church. Jesse goes all over the country, and people think this is the most perfect place in the world. Pastor tells stories about people coming here and getting refreshed and getting filled. Could they go to your website? Could they go to your places you visit? Could they go to the things you watch and still feel that same refreshing spirit?
That's good, preacher.
Is it real? Mikhail and I were just talking. We saw this. I thought it was neat. Living right is simple. It can be hard, but it's simple if you think about it. It says right here, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You know, if you submit yourself to God first, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil if you don't submit to God.
Amen.
Submitting to God is open in this book. Rogue told me one time, he smacked me in the face when he said it. I said, I read a proverb a day. He said, you're not a kid in Proverbville anymore. And I'm thinking, I read all these contracts at work, all this paperwork. I read, if maybe you read schematics, maybe you read menus, maybe you read Facebook posts. I don't care what you read. But don't tell me you can't find time to pick 20, 30 minutes to read.
That's right.
Amen. This book will change you.
Amen.
You need to be changed. I need to be changed. So the last verse here, verse 8. After we submit to God, then we can resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from us. Now, we don't have the devil anymore. Verse 8 tells us, it says, draw nigh to God. Now I can go to God. Easy. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Guys, talk to my wife, my daughter, anyone that comes to my house. We have an open-door policy. People come over, just walk in. I am not perfect. I want to be perfect. I'm sick of the attitude of Faith Baptist Church people, some of them. Well, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be holy. You calling God a liar? It says, be ye holy. It's not going to be easy all the time unless we submit. Of course it's not going to be easy to do right if I'm watching things and going to filthy places and doing all these things I'm not supposed to do. But if I start making changes, some people got freaked out just when I moved the flowers out the way. Oh, they don't like change. Some of you get stressed out if someone sits in your seat or doesn't sit in their normal seat and don't even touch your seat. That's crazy. That stuff bothers you. You get upset that so-and-so down the street smoked this or drank this or said this or watched this, but your kids are heathens. You get upset that so-and-so is dancing, which is wrong, read your book, but you go out and act like a jerk to people. Why can't we all just get in the book? I like what Brother George always said. It stuck in my head. I'm sure he got it from somebody. But either way, he always said, why are you reading a book about a book you never read? Read the commentaries. Read all the things you can read. Make sure you're reading this, though. Right. Read this first.
Yep.
Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you so much, God. Please, I hope I didn't say anything wrong, Lord.